daily offerings are firstly to remind everyone that the temple is not for us, but it's for God's purpose. It belongs to God. You know, many times we forget. And it's very easy to forget. Because the temple is for God. It's God's house. It's not for us. But if you look at so many Christians group today, including from Roman Catholicism to even the youngest group today, people consider the church as their own. It's my church. I am the elder here. I am the pastor here. Everybody must listen to me. Right? Unconsciously or consciously, we make it our property. No wonder Peter told the elders, do not rule over a church as it is your own property. Mm-hmm. as if the church is your own possession. The church is not your possession. If you're working for Microsoft and one day you took over Microsoft and says it's your company, you're in big trouble. Right? Can you imagine you work for the bank or whatever bank it is, and a year later you make it into your bank? Well, you're a thief. You stole what is not yours. At the end, everybody must listen to you. Whose church is it? Didn't that happen to the LSM? And did it not happen, what's happening today? You must listen to me because I'm the elder here. We are divinely appointed by God. Everybody must listen to me. What is this all about? You forgot that a church is God's house. It is not your house. The church of God is mainly the house of the living God. This is what Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 3, the church is the house of the living God. It's God's holy temple. And the body is not your body. It's not the body of the elder. That's why I demonstrated yesterday. The body is the body of
Christ.
What does it mean, the body of Christ? It means it belongs to him. Right. Your body only does what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Right? Not what I want to do. Unless you're my slave. And I'm your master. Mm-hmm. But a church, who is the master? Who is the head over all things? You know, let me tell you, the only one who is really divinely appointed for a church is Christ. Yeah. He is appointed by God. Ephesians chapter 1 says to be head over all things to the church. Or are you appointed to be head over all things? We forget. We always forget, especially with the length of time at the end, it becomes your church. That's why you need a daily burnt offering. But hey, you don't even believe in the burnt offering. You said, oh, in the New Testament, no more offerings. Then you're in trouble. No wonder everybody thinks the church is their church. It's the pastor's church. It's the Pope's church. It is man's church. I say, I have the say here in the church. Everybody must listen to me. And then it must be your church. who determines what is the truth in the Bible. Now everybody can say anything they like, just like Laodicea, man's opinion. At the end, the Lord has to spit it out. Right? So we all need to remember there is a daily offering, a daily sin offering, and also a daily burnt offering. To remind everybody the church belongs to the Lord, not to any man, not to the elders, not to the apostle, not to, the deacons. Who makes the decision? At the end, even if it's wrong, you have to believe it. You have to accept it. Because the elder said so. Have we not learned it in the past with the LSM? So, it is so important for us to see that, the church is the house of the living God, the city of the living God. Amen. Right. Christ is the head over all things. And we say the church is the bride. Whose bride? The bride of Christ. Right. And it must be a glorious church. It's very easy to say the doctrine, no, it's the bride of Christ. But what kind of a bride? What kind of a bride does the Lord want? An old maid? Full of wrinkles and spots? Did not Paul write very clearly, the Lord wants to have a glorious church? Not having any spot or wrinkle. You say, oh, that's too hard. It's not going to happen today. It's too difficult. It's not possible. Then don't read the Bible anymore if it's not possible. Why you still want to read the Bible? It's not possible anyway, right? So, why read the Bible? Oh, don't pressure me, okay, to be holy without blemish. What are you going to do? So, what should we do? Just be anything, right? Just be unholy. Don't pressure me to be holy. Don't talk about holiness. You're going to give me pressure. Pretty soon nobody's going to be in the church anymore because it's too holy. How about that? And don't you be glorious because I'm not glorious. You are glorious. You're going to put me under pressure. So either we're all holy or we are all unholy. Don't be half holy, half unholy. If Mu Chang is too holy, I'm afraid to come to the meeting anymore because Mu Chang is too holy. Ah, so Mu Chang, don't be holy, please. If you're too holy, nobody's going to come to the church anymore. Okay? Be a little bit unholy, please. Nonsense. Don't bring sacrifice. If you do, and I don't, you're going to put me under pressure. So what are we going to do? You all need to really see. We need the daily burnt offering. Right? The daily offering there to remind us the church is not your church nor my church. It is God's church. Belongs to God. Don't think the church is your possession. I heard somebody says, I am responsible for the church here. Oh my goodness. Wow, can you really bear that responsibility? Did you die for the church? Did you shed your precious blood for the church? Did you pay the price to buy the church? Is the church now your property? Is it? So, are you responsible? Who's responsible? Who's the owner? Christ. He is responsible. He is the one walking in the midst of the golden lampstands. He has the say. He's the great high priest. We are only the priests. How many high priests are there? Oh, maybe there's an assistant high priest. Freddie, are you the assistant high priest? No. Are you sure? No. Between the high priest and the priesthood, there is no assistant. There's only one high priest. I heard somebody, the LSM time, I heard it with my own ears, he's the deputy authority. Oh, goodness. You have the authority, and then you have a deputy authority, and then you have the poor people there under the deputy authority. So if there is an authority, and there is a deputy authority, who are you going to listen to? You have a problem there. Tell me, Charlie, suppose the deputy authority says something different than the head who is the authority. Who are you going to listen to? But I'm the deputy. I'm his deputy. You have to listen to me. I'm divinely appointed. We have a problem. Usually, if there is a deputy authority, people listen to the deputy authority. You think all the Catholic will listen to Christ or listen to the Pope? You tell me. If you were a Catholic, who are you going to listen to? A big problem. Sorry for me to speak so directly to you. Or do you want me to speak in parable? That is why we need the daily offering. If you don't see that, we are going to be in trouble. We're going to repeat history again. We are going to repeat history again if you have never really learned the lesson. At that time, people said, John So left the church. I said, no. I didn't. You did. And today again people says, John So doesn't want the church anymore. You believe I don't want the church anymore? I'm going to ask my granddaughter, your grandpa doesn't want the church anymore? How about you, Mucha? You believe I change. I don't want the church anymore. Forgive me to say this a little bit. I'm more for the church than anybody else that I know today. Yeah. You really need to see what the church truly is. For many people today, the church is one city, one church. You are the church already built. Why are you the church? Because we are building on a principle of one city, one church. You ask Witness Lee, he's going to answer you, yes. We are the church because we are standing on the one city, one church, the ground of the church. Show me a verse that says the church is built upon the ground of one city, one church. You tell me. Show me a verse. The church is built upon Christ as the true foundation of the church. Then you say, oh, you see, John so changed, he doesn't believe anymore in one city, one church. I never said that in one city you can have several churches. Did I ever say that? But my question is, one city, one what kind of a church? One city, one dead church? One city, one worldly church? You know, even the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 just lost the first love, or left the first love. The Lord says, you don't repent, I will remove the lampstand. But Lord, we are standing on the one city, one church. You discuss with him, okay? Lord, we never left one city, one church. We just left the first love. Oh, yeah, you argue with him. One city, one dead church. So silly. Sorry for me to say this out loud. You see, John says one city, one church is silly. Then you have to recognize the LSM people as the church, because they are standing on one city, one church much earlier than in Germany. Mm-hmm. Then how come you say they are not the church today? Is that the only factor that makes you the church? You can draw another one, okay? Let me illustrate it so that you can understand. Yes, in the Bible, what is this? You? Oh, it goes to my mic. Yeah, you see, that's why I said it must be a little bit strange. What is that on the floor? Is it? That's it, right?
That's it.
Okay, thank you.
It's a wind card.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Bible never gives us a doctrine that in every city there can only be one church. Can you show me such a doctrine? Can you? No. But the Bible just showed us a fact. It is not a doctrine. It is a fact. Where does that fact come from? Why is there only one church in one city? Why? Because this is the way the Lord built it. It was built by the Lord. So in the day of Pentecost, you have the triune God here. Okay. And you have the Lord here on the throne. He ascended on high, sitting on the throne there. And he poured out the Holy Spirit here. And when the Spirit was poured out, the church was built. How many church in Jerusalem? One. Was that a doctrine? Was that a principle? No. It was one city, one church, because God is one. The Lord is one. The Father is one. There's the oneness of the Spirit. And because our God is one, the Father, the Son of the Holy, and the Holy Spirit, so naturally, in Jerusalem, Right? In Jerusalem, extend the circle. There's only one church because God is one. Right. So you must see this connection. Okay? This is the connection. This is the result of the building by the living God through the Holy Spirit. That's a result. Now, if you forget about this, all of a sudden one day that disappeared. And you only care about now this becomes a principle of one city, one church. Now you make this into a principle, right? One city, one church. This becomes a principle. Now the principle is now have nothing to do anymore with the living God who built the church. It's replaced by man's authority, replaced by man's work, man's hands, man's plan, man's ways. You think this will mean anything for God? You are just building upon a principle. Without this wonderful God here, that connection is no longer there. This is a dead principle. It's dead. And that's why these people are saying, even though the church in Pergamos is so worldly, Satan's throne is there, God still considers it as a church. Now who says? Then where are the churches today in Asia? What happened to them? Sardis is dead. A dead church. You want to have a dead church? Did not the Lord says, if you're dead, you don't repent, I will blot your name out of the book of life. Suppose the Lord blot the name out of the book of life, you're still the church? You don't repent and come back to the first love and do the first work. The Lord says, I will remove the lampstand. Is the lampstand removable? Well, you argue with him, but Lord, we are standing on the principle. What principle? One city, one church. The Lord says, I will remove the lampstand. What about the Lord says, because you are lukewarm, I will spit you, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. Once the Lord vomited you out, what are you? You're a vomited church. What's the use of a vomited church? It stinks. Even the Lord didn't want it anymore. The Lord told Thyatira, you don't repent. You have the mystery of Satan even there. The depths of Satan. And Jezebel was there. The Lord says, I will put you in a sick bed. You're not the church in that locality. You're the church in a sick bed. You want to be a sick patient your whole life? So what are you going to do? Right? You say, oh, I heard people say, yeah, we are still building upon the principle of one city, one church. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. You are building, not the Lord. Your oneness is no longer the oneness of the triune God, no longer oneness with the living God. And what kind of a church you're building, I don't care what kind of a church you are building. Because this relationship is already broken here. Once this relationship is gone, there's no more. You don't even see this anymore. You just see people, they're building on one city, one church. You understand? It's not that, yeah, we believe in one city, there can be 25 churches. No. This is the most important factor here. You eliminate that factor. Your oneness, you're just keeping a strange kind of oneness. We are one. What kind of oneness? Russian oneness? Putin oneness? There are many kind of oneness. Mafia is also one. Yeah. Because the Godfather, everybody has to listen to the Godfather. He's neither God nor Father, okay? He just calls himself the Godfather. And it's also a kind of oneness. There are many kind of oneness. What kind of oneness are we keeping? One city, one church? Even if everything is rotten and wrong and corrupted, we have to keep the oneness. Goodness, tell me, Brother Pavel, what kind of word should I use? What kind of a oneness is it? And what purpose are you keeping such oneness? Just to be one, even if it's wrong? Yeah. Was für ein Wert hat solch eine Einheit? How do you say that in English? What kind of a value? Yeah, I'm sorry. No value. Zero. Even negative. Because it's even a negative oneness. Oneness against the worship of the Father. Oh, I don't want to keep that oneness with you, okay? You want to keep such a oneness? It has not only zero value, it has minus zero value. I don't know how many minus 100. No value. The only reason why they want to keep the one is one city, one church. Oh, goodness sake. Let me tell you today, it is not that we are not for the true oneness, but such a oneness that people are keeping is wrong. And that is why so many people are still staying in that wrong LSM church, because they believe in one city, one church, and they say that is still the church. And they're afraid to come out. So that one city, one church, the so-called ground of the church, becomes a prison, a captivity. So that even if they are wrong and they say they are God, people still are afraid to come out. Because one city, one church. If you come out of that, oh, you see, you left the church. causing division, divisive. The people quickly stay there, and nobody dares to move and get out of that captivity. One city, one church. Oh, John so said the ground of the church is now a prison. What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say? So, do we believe in one city there can be hundreds of churches? No. But it is the true oneness with the triune God that keeps us one. And I'm not obligated to keep any kind of other strange human-made oneness. Are you obligated? Even if it's wrong, you still have to keep the oneness. Have I not been saying that our oneness must only be in the realm, within the realm of life and truth? If it's outside of that circle, that realm, hey, don't expect me to keep the oneness with you. If you say we don't have to worship God, and just to pray is good enough, you think I agree? Just to keep oneness with you? Huh? No. Our oneness is always only within that realm of life and truth. If it's dead, I cannot keep oneness with you. Okay, sorry. I don't want to stay with you in the grave. Yeah. Or you want to live with me in the grave? Come on, we have to keep the oneness. I'm dead, you're alive. You have to be with me in the grave. My granddaughter, you better accompany me when I go to the grave, okay? Keep the oneness with the dead. I can't. This is the whole story. This is the whole story. Right. So you really need to understand this, because if you don't, you will think that, oh, they are not for the church anymore. No. No. Except after all these 50 years of history, we begin to fully understand what it means. I don't care if it comes from what your money or where or whom. That is why 10 years after 1937, concerning that book, The Ground of the Church, or The Normal Christian Church Life in Chinese, is concerning our mission. 10 years later, in 1947-48, Watchman Nee redefined the ground of the church. The first point is the authority of the Holy Spirit. That means if that connection with the Holy Spirit, and he says this is heavenly. I'm going to use green instead of blue. We don't have a blue, right? This is the Holy Spirit. Christ as the head, the authority. And he says the ground of the church, point number one, which is the most important point, he says, is the authority of the Holy Spirit. 圣灵的主权. He's saying the same thing as we are saying today. Then, if you have this connection, then you can talk about the boundary of locality. And it's okay. One city, one church is fine. But the first point of the ground of the church is the full headship and authority of the Holy Spirit, Christ as head over all things. Then the one city, one church has a meaning because it is connected to this point. And then Watchman mentioned in that particular chapter called the Further Talks of the Church, you'll be surprised because this authority of the Holy Spirit is so high. And all of a sudden I'm talking about the boundary of locality is so earthly. He says, yes, that's right. Then if you have this, then you practice this, this is okay. Then this has a true meaning now. But if you neglect this, this is no more. And no more of that, no more of this. You just have the second point using the brown color because it is earthly. From man's hands. Point number two, you only have point number two. It is useless. Minus zero value. You can shout from the top of your lung, we are still building on the principle of one city, one dead church. It doesn't matter. One city, one church has absolutely zero value. It has only value if it has this connection to the triune God here. Clear, brothers? Now you can argue with me. Yeah. You can argue with me. You have any question? You can. Yeah. There's a lawyer, come on. You're also a lawyer. Come on. Yes. Oh, okay.
So when you were talking about the golden incense altar earlier, so I always thought that the prayers of the saints was the incense. So what is this incense?
No. Okay. Yeah. This is a good question. No, I'm going to erase the one city, one church now. It can. I just want to let you know, it's not that we are not for one city, one church. Okay. Please understand that. But one city, one church has zero value. I don't know if there's anything called minus zero value. Zero is zero, even if you have 20,000 zeros. It is still zero. Negative value. I just use the zero, negative zero value means it's worse than zero. Now, and it only has a real value if it is connected to the first point, which is the heavenly point. Okay. Now, according to the book of Revelation in chapter 5, we just read there. In chapter 5, you have the angels there holding the golden bowls full of incense, which bowls are the prayers of the saints. Meaning to say, our prayer must be firstly golden, a golden bowl. We must pray according to God's will, as our brother have shared here. Right? Many times we pray in a very natural, earthly ways. We pray for a good job. We pray for a good family. We pray for success here. We pray, oh Lord, you know, give me good health. And we pray for blessings. And we pray for so many things. And we are the center of our prayers. This is not what prayer ultimately or mainly is for. For God's people, our prayer is for God's plan and God's purpose. At least in the Lord's Prayer, you must firstly pray for God's name to be glorified on this whole earth, for his plan to be fulfilled, for his kingdom to come down, for his will to be done on earth. Now, this is the main burden and purpose of our prayer. Right? So that God's purpose can be fulfilled on this earth. This is what our prayer is mainly for. And so you can see in that verse there in Revelation chapter 5, right, would you please read it again, Sarah, or John, if you have it?
Mm-hmm. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each
having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense. Okay, now in that verse, which that pronoun refers to the bowls, not to the incense. Okay, and this is very important for you to see. Right, you may not see it immediately in the English, but you can see it in the Greek word there, which, right, agrees with the bowls, the golden bowls, which are the prayers of the saints, full of incense. Our prayers itself is not incense. Now, if you read in Exodus chapter 30, you have two things there. Number one, you have the anointing oil, okay? Anointing oil. I'm going to write A-O here. Right? And this anointing oil is the Holy Spirit poured down to anoint us. The Holy Spirit was poured out. And that is for us. You don't need to anoint God. God doesn't need to be anointed. God doesn't need the anointing oil. But the anointing oil comes from him to us, just like the feast is prepared by God for us. But then you have here the incense, right? The incense here. It is for us to offer up in a golden incense to God here. This is us. And this is God. The throne of God is here, his throne, God's throne, okay? So, you have two things. One is the anointing oil given to us by God to anoint us, to anoint the priesthood, to anoint everything in the temple. Everything in the temple must be anointed, and the priesthood also must be anointed. It is for us. So, that concoction there, the mixture of the pure olive oil with all those perfumes there, is the anointing oil for us. Now, the incense is not for us. Hey, no one can enjoy that incense and enjoy the smell of the incense for themselves. Don't do that. It's not for you. But this incense is for us to offer up in a golden incense altar to ascend to God. So we only think about something coming down for me, for me, for me, for me, and for me, and for me, and nothing for God. This is not right. So you have the anointing oil for us, and you have the incense that we have to burn, that incense in a golden incense altar to God. Now, in Revelation chapter 8, you have the golden incense before the throne of God above. Right? So here, you can really see that through the prayers of the saints, which are the bowls, our prayers must contain a lot of wonderful incense of this wonderful Christ. If our prayer is void of incense, it is not much good. My goodness, in fact, you even pray against God's will. Right, Lord, stop those people who want to offer sacrifices to the Father. Oh, my goodness, you think, first of all, that is not only clay. I don't know what kind of a bowl you have in your prayer. It's earthy. It's made of terrible clay. And you think God will pour incense into that kind of a bowl? No. No. Our incense must be golden, meaning to say we must pray according to God's will. And if you pray according to God's will, then incense will be added into your prayers. Christ will amen that prayer. Christ will be one with you in that prayer. Don't think Christ is so foolish. He'll be one with whatever you ask. No. It's written there, if you pray according to God's will, then your prayers definitely will be answered. Right? And it's also written, right, I believe it must be in Proverbs that God answers the prayers of the righteous. If you're unrighteous, you think God will answer your prayers. No. So we need to have a golden bowl. Our prayers must be this wonderful golden bowls full of incense.
Right.
Yes, of course. Yes. Because he's one with you and you're one with him. That's why you need to pray in the name of the Lord Jesus, not in the practice, oh, at the end, you add in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means you have to pray one with Christ. You have to pray in the Spirit. And this is why Jude says, pray in the Holy Spirit. Right. And it's also written what John mentioned in Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit. Is there helping us in our prayers? Because the Holy Spirit knows the will of the Father. Right? So all of these verses together shows us that we need to pray in such a way, at least in our heart, in our consciousness, Lord, help me to pray in a proper way. In this golden incense altar. And in Luke chapter 1, that John the Baptist's father, before he was born, it was his turn to burn incense. And while he was inside there burning the incense, that was his lot. At that time, people were outside praying. So that shows that burning incense and our prayers are related. So you can really see the incense is added into our prayers so that it will ascend to God and God will answer that prayer. And in Revelation chapter 8, God was waiting for the prayers of the saints to ascend to him to start the great tribulation. That great tribulation is not going to start before the bowls of prayer full of incense, the prayers of the saints ascended to God before the throne. You can read that again. Right.
Another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar.
Right.
He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of,
with the prayers of all the saints
upon the golden altar, which
yes,
was before the throne.
Yes. And
then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar, and threw it to the earth.
Mm. And?
And there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake.
And?
So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound.
Let's see. That's right. We don't pray according to God's will. The seven angels with the seven trumpets are waiting. Hey, we are ready, but Father God or God, when are we going to blow the trumpet? Well, God will say, I'm still waiting for the incense to come up from the prayers of the saints. You want to hasten the Lord's coming? You have to pray. Yes, just like the anointing is the Lord. But the anointing is the Lord to anoint us, right, to strengthen us, to prepare us for the Lord's work, for the service. Everything in the house of the living God must be anointed by the oil. That means everything must be done through the Holy Spirit, the power, the strength, the authority, the life of the Holy Spirit. Right. And now the incense is another very similar concoction, except with different elements there, but similar in nature as incense to be mixed to our prayers, is that it will ascend to the throne before the Father to accomplish God's will. That's why the prayers are very important. Yeah. This is why you have three pieces of furniture right there in the holy place. You have the table with the showbread, food for the priests, and then you have the golden lampstand with the light shining forward. Right? And then you have the golden incense altar there for the burning of the incense. Yeah. Right. And as we mentioned here, let's go back to the beginning. Roman numeral 1, in the second page, the main services of the priests, the main services, right? Number one, to come near to God, praise God, right. And this is why the golden incense altar is the closest piece of furniture immediately before the veil in the Old Testament days. It is before the veil. But in Hebrews chapter 9, it was within the veil. And there is a big controversy there among the theologians. And nobody had any answer to that. Did Moses make a mistake? Or did the writer of Hebrews make a mistake? Now you tell me who made a mistake. Ah, Moses or the writer of Hebrews? No, none made a mistake. So is it inside or outside? In the Old Testament days, it was before the veil. But in the New Covenant days, where is it? It is inside the veil. Meaning to say that in our prayers, this golden incense altar is the one that takes us inside the veil. And usually when you pray, you're outside. And as you pray, it moves you inside. You can only explain this by experience. You cannot explain it by doctrine. There's no doctrine. Right? If we are going to argue, is it before the veil or inside the veil, we'll never find an answer. No. But if the veil is torn, you tell me, is it inside or outside? Does it make a difference? If the veil is torn already, so are we going to argue? No. You have to move the golden incense altar 3 feet inside. Is there a need? No more. Right? No more. So when we pray ourselves into the presence of the living God. Don't just pray. And praying in a traditional way means nothing. Yeah. Even God probably is not listening. Next week we come to pray. God says, oh, I know what you're going to pray already because they've been praying that for a few years now. Right? Because we've been praying in a traditional way. Even if we don't get an answer, we still pray the same thing. Yeah. Nobody expects anything to happen. You pray, or you don't pray, nothing happens. So, no. Every time I talk to you, do I talk to you the same thing? I don't think so. Every time you come to me, you never talk to me about the same thing all the time. Then why come to me? Because I already know what you're going to say. No, we come to each other because we have something important to talk about. Right? So, our fellowship, so-called, with God is very living, very up to date, something that is necessary now, something that has to be done, something according to God's will, not just something what I want, but something what God wants to do. If I come to God and always talk to him about what I like, God says, God will tell, I already know what you like, okay? What about, let's talk about what I like. That's why we need to pray according to God's will, to know what the Lord wants to do today. Father, what do you want to do now? Not 40 years ago. What is your will today? How do you want the church to go on? But, you know, we don't care. We do things every week, week after week, the same way. Talk about the same thing and even go backwards. This is sad. Definitely, this is not a living way. You cannot come near to God and you don't know what you want. Right? So we are the Hebrews chapter 4 says we need to enter into the Holy of Holies to approach the throne of grace. What for? To talk about the same thing. No, to receive grace for what? To meet the timely need. To receive a help for timely need. What does it mean, timely need? It means now, the present situation. What God wants, what is needed today. But people don't want that. Right. People want to do, well, it works 40 years ago. Why do you want to change? It's still working today. So the American says, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Right? It's terrible English, right? It's terrible English. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. We've been doing that 40 years ago. We've been always using the word, let's give a testimony, sharing. How come now you come with a new word offering? Actually, that word offering is very ancient. Except nobody practices it. It started already with Abel. How old is that? Did Abel share something? Give a testimony to the cows? Give a message. He brought a sacrifice acceptable to the Father, an offering. It's very ancient and very scriptural. Sharings. That's not even. Really, that concept is not even scriptural. Except when you share money with the poor people, yeah. Share with the poor people. It's okay. Right? But hey, you know, we need to keep on going to see what the Lord wants to do now. Lutherans are still doing what the Lord had done with Luther 500 years ago. And they're still trying to do the same thing. That's why they're dead. If your understanding of the church is one city, one church, as in 1937, and you never move on, you're working for karma and daily and you're engineering 1 + 1 = 2. Oh yeah, 2 + 2 = 4. 2 × 2 = 4. 1 + 3 = 4. You're in that realm. You think you'll be hired. You will not be hired, you'll be fired. They will change the H to F. You're hired, now you're fired. You cannot. You think our God is not a God who is living and moving on and showing us new things up to date. I even heard people saying somewhere there in Europe, I don't believe in progressive revelation. Of course, God doesn't need progressive revelation. He already knows everything from Genesis, everything, even what hasn't happened. He already knows what's going to happen. But you don't know, right? So don't you need more revelation? Fresh? New? Progressive? Yeah. How silly, foolish, to say we don't need revelation today. You mean to say you know everything already? Right. So, praise the Lord, we really need to see. The Lord needs our prayers, but if you do not know what the Father is doing today, how can you cooperate with Him? Or would you prefer to just do as you have been doing 40 years ago, 50 years ago? I don't want to. If you want to, that's fine. But don't force me to do it, because I'm not going to stay there like that. You like to, that's your problem. It's not my problem. Oh, Lord, may the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
We want to go on.
Amen.
We want to discover more what God wants to do to end this age.
Right.
To really fulfill the practice of the priesthood. Don't think I know everything. I don't know everything. I'm still trying to learn how to offer up the best spiritual sacrifice to the Father. I won't be happy just to bring a dove, although I'm not against bringing a dove, and I bring doves sometimes. But I want Father to enjoy something better, bigger. I want to move on from a dove to a bull. How about that? If I just keep on bringing dove, the dove skin, what am I going to do with dove skin? Absolutely nothing. So you get nothing. But if you have a lamb, you get a lamb skin. If you have a bull, you can even have a jacket made. Right? You can put on Christ to be your covering. Why not? Right? So we all need to keep on improving, learning. You learn so many things, right, Beverly? You learn now how to design a building, how to design a house. You learn now, you learn so many things, right? Or are you going to quit after 1 year? How much can you learn in 1 year architecture?
Nothing.
How about two? Yeah. Even after you graduated, you have to get into the practice and experience. You think spiritually you don't need to learn? Every time you talk about the church, it's one city, one church. After 50 years, still one city, one church. Why are you the church? One city, one church. People are still saying, and they're so proud of it. They are no longer for the ground of the church. We here are still building on the principle of one city, one church. Sorry, it sounds very strange and funny. 50 years ago, it sounds so great, because that's all we know about. But that's 50 years ago. And if you're talking about even at the time of Watchman Nee, that's 80-some years ago, 1937, and now it's almost 217, right? 80 years, almost 90 years ago. At that time, it was okay. But let me tell you what Watchman Nee said at that time. Within 1937 to 1947, many of the older brothers told me at that time, Watchman Nee was so tired of people, his co-workers, telling people, come out of the denomination, stand in one city, the ground of the church, one city church, out of the denomination, come, stand. Watchman Nee says, at one point, if anyone still talks about this, he is not my co-worker. He says, our testimony is Christ, the living Christ, not one city, one church. It came from the one who implemented one city, one church. And now, that's all we know about the church. What are we going to do? What about the priesthood? Forget about the priesthood. That's the Old Testament. What about offering of sacrifices? Forget about it. We are in the new covenant no more. No more? You're sure? Right. So, come near to God. In the Holy of Holies. You think in the New Covenant there is no more Holy of Holies? No more mercy seats? No more Ark of the Covenant? Is there no more mercy seats? No more incense? Why Revelation talk about incense? No more golden incense altar? That's passé, in the past. Maybe you don't know the Bible so well. No more tabernacle? No more? No more showbread? No more lampstand, right? Golden lampstand, no more. That is the time of the past. No altar? All of this, no more, right? So what do we have left here? So, all the works of the priesthood there, Aaron and his sons, they are to serve at the altar. What is the altar for? It's a burnt offering altar. And the places behind the veil, which includes the holy place, and once a year, unfortunately, in those days. And the Holy Spirit is showing that the way to enter in is still not open because the veil was not torn yet. Right? And to be in charge of all the offerings and holy gifts. God doesn't want it anymore. Of course he does. Except it has to be now Christ, the spiritual offering. Why is that so hard to understand? Huh, Jake? It's so difficult. I'm talking about what? Riddles and cows and to be in charge of all the offerings and holy gifts. And then in Malachi chapter 2, verses 4 and 7, what did it say? The lips of the priests must what? Yeah, I think you better read it so that you all have a good and deeper impression. Chapter 2, verse 4 and 7.
Then you shall know that I have sent this
Hmm. What? In equity, not iniquity. Yeah, please. And turn many away from iniquity.
For the lips of the priest should keep knowledge.
Should keep knowledge.
Should seek the law from his mouth. For he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts.
Amen. He's the messenger of the Lord. A messenger is one who carries the proper message from God. Don't talk nonsense. You should turn people away from iniquity. You should walk in righteousness. Right? In uprightness. And the lips should always impart the proper living knowledge to the people. Yeah. Right? Don't talk nonsense. Oh Lord, and not only don't talk nonsense, don't accept and believe nonsense. Yep. So may the Lord really help us to build up today the reality and the practice of a proper priesthood. This is the normal church life. The whole church, the whole congregation must be a holy and royal priesthood. And this holy priesthood today will prepare you for a kingship in the coming age. You don't practice a priesthood today, you will not be qualified to practice the priesthood, the kingship. You will not be qualified to rule with Christ in the coming age. Yep. All these wonderful offerings will perfect you to rule with Christ in the coming age. Help you to be holy, to be righteous, right? To be obedient to the will of the Father, to be upright, to be free from sin and the world and all of these things. Especially from your own flesh and from yourself, you will experience the power of his resurrection. You will experience sitting with him on the throne in his ascension. That will, all of these will prepare all of us to be the kings, to rule and reign with Christ in the coming millennial kingdom. Praise the Lord. Right. May the Lord really help us. There's so many things with this matter of the priesthood. So many things. Amen. Yep.